any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char, and let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Come as you are indeed. And it may be sooner than later, though it looks as though the mechanism may not be nuclear war, as Tom Lear warns us, but rather this vast pandemic killing us by a combination of face masks, killing us slowly, vaccinations killing us more rapidly, and ultimately mass starvation to reduce the world's population from 8 billion to 500 million. That's a reduction of 7.5 billion. And don't think your friends and neighbors and relatives are going to escape. We have the Deagle.com projection that the U.S. population will drop from 2020, 330 million to 65 million in 2025. That's a loss of 265 million Americans in less than 5 years. None of us is going to escape the consequences. It's well advanced already. Official data is showing twice as many have died due to the vaccines in the last 6 months than those who died from COVID-19 in the past 15. But bear in mind, all the deaths from COVID are manufactured, just as they can manufacture the number of cases using the false positives as the basis by adjusting the PCR test to a higher number of cycles to guarantee a false positive, to lower, to practically guarantee a non-positive, a negative result. They are reclassifying like mad, just as there were 38 million cases, not deaths, cases of flu last year, and they've now been reclassified almost completely as COVID. A good friend of mine, by the way, who's been featured on this show, Rolf Lindgren, has just got out of the hospital where he had developed pneumonia. And I'm convinced, though Rolf doesn't believe it, that it was because he took the jab. Fortunately, so far, he's okay. And I treated him to dinner yesterday and was glad to see him and welcome him out of the hospital. Nevertheless, The data is simply staggering, whether it, you know, using the figure of 3,591 who've allegedly died of COVID-19, according to NHS data, 239.4 have died per month since March of 2020 through June of 2021. We have the known figure of those who are officially supposed to have died from COVID-19. When we get this staggering difference, what's going on here with this Public Health Scotland now? These are British and Scottish numbers. A report by Public Health Scotland showed between the 8th of December 2020 and the 11th of June 2021, a total of 5,522 died within 28 days of having a dose of COVID-19 vaccine. Now, it looks as though they're mixing it up, that maybe about a third of those who are getting the jab are getting a benign or saline solution, so that it won't be as obvious. And of course, for most, the deaths are going to be on a delayed basis. But there's a report out there now that 45,000 died within 3 days of getting the jab that is being suppressed. The CDC knows it, NIH knows it, WHO knows it, but they're not allowing the people to know. Here I have now, for the second week in a row, more COVID-19 vaccination deaths and COVID-19 deaths in the U.S., according to both the CDC and the AVIRS websites. The AVIRS website released its weekly number Friday. This is just 2 days ago, There are now 11,140 reported deaths from the COVID vaccine. Mind you, that's a tiny percentage of the actual number. This is up from the 9,125 reported total from last week. Now, it has a graph here, and it's just skyrocketing. I mean, it's all basically level, and then it just goes virtually perpendicular. I mean, that's how bad it is. So how long they're going to be able to keep this from the American people is beyond me. I think they're going to be a hell of a lot of pissed off Americans when they find out that the government and Dr. Fauci and all these talking heads and NBC and CBS and ABC have all been talking them into taking a vaccination that has a high probability of killing them. The number of deaths linked to vaccines this year has absolutely skyrocketed, according to the CDC's own data. The AVIRS, the VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, database contains information on unverified reports of adverse effects, illnesses, health problems, or symptoms following immunization with the U.S. licensed vaccines, all of which, of course, are only authorized on an emergency basis, where the CDC links to the AVIRS platform. The total number is now at 11,140. And since that only reports like 1%, if you added two zeros there, that would be 1,114,000, which would not surprise me, frankly, would not surprise me. There have been over 400,000 adverse reactions reported. What if you add a couple more zeros? That gets 40 million adverse reactions. I'll bet that's right, too. So we got this terrible, terrible situation. Moreover, we have another report the FDA knew already on October 22nd, 2020, October 22nd, 2020. That the death jab would maim and kill, cause heart damage, clotting, and ravage children. It's absolutely stunning. Meanwhile, if you're in France, if you're caught in a restaurant without proof of vaccination, you face up to 6 months in jail. The restaurant owner faces up to a year for hosting you. How bad is that? Meanwhile, we have five JetBlue airline pilots who are dead, where the media is intentionally hiding vax fears. Breaking now, five JetBlue airline pilots are confirmed dead. Current JetBlue whistleblower confirms the push for the jab to continue. we had earlier of another airline that lost five pilots and were no longer allowing any pilot who had the vaccination to fly. I mean, if you care about your passengers, that's obviously what you want to do. Meanwhile, an MIT study shows that those of us displaying what they're calling vaccine hesitancy or, you know, reluctance to take the jab are highly informed, scientifically literate, and sophisticated. This is coming from MIT. Vaccine hesitancy is a big problem. According to the Biden administration, less than half the public is fully vaxxed. About 56% have received at least one jab. The goal to fully vax the American people appears to have stalled. It should not surprise us. When the vaccines were first approved for emergency use back in December of 2020, 40% of Americans were skeptical about it. Trying to shame the holdouts has failed spectacularly. Insulting and degrading them as morons or ignorant has resulted in a vicious pushback and a hardening of positions on getting vaccinated. The administration's plan to send people door to door to vaccinate them only feeds anti-vaccine skepticism. Trust in authority is at an all-time low, which makes a government-sponsored vaccine program suspect. Still, most experts agree that some people who should be getting vaccinated aren't doing so. But the root cause isn't ignorance or a belief in conspiracy theories. An MIT study on the problem revealed some surprising results. Here's from the study. Proponents of the vaccine are unwilling or unable to understand the thinking of vaccine skeptics, or even admit that skeptics may be thinking at all. Their attempts to answer skepticism or understand it end up poisoned by condescension and end up reinforcing it. Comment. The condescension is political in nature and crosses party lines. Sometimes arguments against vaccination are mistaken for irrational thinking. From the study, sometimes the perception of irrationality is almost accidental, because arguments are usually social interactions, not strictly logical exercises. A vaccine skeptic may brush off a proponent by saying, "It's approved for emergency use only. It's not FDA approved. I don't think we should require it." The skeptic is beginning with a fact that's easily established and shareable. But when pressed, they might reveal that their line of thinking is elsewhere. There are no long-term studies, and I'm worried about possible long-term effects. Because the two objections aren't exactly logically connected, the proponent concludes it's irrationalism all the way down. But a study done at MIT shows that a substantial portion of public health skepticism was highly informed, scientifically literate, and sophisticated in the use of data. Skeptics use the same data sets as those with orthodox views on public health. Aside, the study's lead author, Crystal Lee, says those same exact data sets can be used by either side to marshal arguments. The report continues. The researchers combed through hundreds of thousands of social media posts and found that coronavirus skeptics often deploy counter-visualizations alongside the same follow-the-data rhetoric as public health experts, yet the skeptics argue for radically different policies. The researchers conclude that data visualizations aren't sufficient to convey the urgency of the COVID-19 pandemic, because even the clearest graphs can be interpreted through a variety of belief systems. Aside, a lot of people think of metrics like infection rates as objective, said Crystal Lee, but they're clearly not, based on how much debate there is on how to think about the pandemic. That's why we say data visualizations have become a battleground. And of course, it's got to do with whether you're doing, an alleged death rate based upon persons who've actually been infected, or an alleged death rate based on persons who are in the population generally, There are lots of ways to lie with statistics. In fact, because data sets are being used interchangeably, vaccine skepticism becomes logical and rational. But most vaccine skepticism, if by that we mean reluctance, is not based on conspiracy theorizing. It's based on risk-benefit calculations. You may think it's an innumerate calculation, meaning lacking numbers. But when you look at patterns of uptake in the United States, two factors stand out, factors that are larger in their effect than partisanship, age and density. The older you are and the denser your community, the more likely you are to be vaccinated. The younger you are and the more rural your community, the less likely you are to have gotten it. This reflects a real fact about risks of death from COVID. People may be wildly overestimating their risk from the vaccine and are underestimating the risk from COVID, but they have the directional thinking correct. Those who are in less danger act like it. And I think that's impeccable reporting. I mean, even on its face, if you took the pandemic to be a real phenomenon, which in fact I do not, nevertheless, we know the survival rate is phenomenally high and that the groups that are most vulnerable include those who are elderly and they have pre-existing conditions such as diabetes or arterial sclerosis or, you know, some forms of cancer, what have you. Those are the more vulnerable groups, and that children are virtually immune, that they have, you know, virtually no death rate, except now that they're vaccinating children, it's growing. And I'm just terribly apprehensive about how many children are going to die out of a mistaken belief, sincere intention. They thought they were doing the right thing by parents who have allowed their children to get a vaccination that's going to do them possibly terminal harm in the mistaken belief they were actually benefiting them from becoming infected by a phantom disease. This is why vaccine choice is so important. Why have the same mandate for everyone who lives in New York City and someone Why have the same mandate for someone who lives in New York City and someone who lives in rural South Dakota? A more holistic approach to vaccine skepticism is needed if we are to get everyone who needs to be vaccinated protected. Allowances must be made for the legitimate concerns of citizens who, for their own reasons, don't want to get jabbed. But if indeed individuals are doing their own risk-benefit calculations, it would help enormously if the left would refrain from their sickening condescension toward those with serious, legitimate questions. Indeed, I believe that those who are vaccine skeptics are far better informed than those who are not. And just to make a very general point, in the past, we've heard from the Democrats, your body, your choice. Now, of course, that's in relation to another medical procedure, to wit, abortion. But your body, your choice has been manifestly the principle that the Democrats have emphasized again and again for decades and decades and decades. Now, suddenly, it's your body, but it's not your choice. How can that be? How does that up? I believe this is a further way in which a Democratic Party is completely discrediting itself, coming across as the undemocratic party, totally authoritarian, even totalitarian. John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute now is giving us information about our right to be let alone, what to do when the COVID strike force teams come knocking. A federal COVID-19 vaccination strike force may soon be knocking on your door, especially if you live in a community with low vaccination rates. Will you let them in? More to the point, are you required to open the door? Let me point out that those low vaccination rates happen to be in states that were also strongly supportive of Donald Trump. And if I'm correct, and I have no reason to doubt it, that Sherry Tenpenny was speaking the truth when she said these were perfectly designed killing machines, then there may be an additional political motivation for vaccinating those who live in states with low vaccine rates. It derives from the politics of the region, just as there seems to be absolute carelessness about the migrants that are being allowed in from the southern border as to whether they have COVID or not, vaccinated or not, in a Democrat's effort to manipulate demographics in order to enable them to win elections that they were going to lose forever, given the way in which Trump reorganized politics by turning the Republican Party into a populist party. The Biden administration has announced it plans to send federal surge response teams on a targeted community door-to-door outreach to promote the safety of the community by means of the vaccines. That's fine and good as far as the propaganda goes, but nothing as simple or straightforward as the government claims, especially not when armed roving bands of militarized agents deployed by the nanny state show up at your door with an agenda that's at odds with what Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis referred to as the constitutional right to be let alone. Any attempt by government to encroach on the citizens' privacy rights or establish a system by which the population can be targeted, tracked, and singled out must be met with extreme caution. Here are some of the points he makes. First, there's the visit itself. While government agents can approach, speak to, and even question citizens without violating the Fourth Amendment, Americans have a right not to answer questions or even speak with a government agent. Apologies. Courts have upheld these knock-and-talk visits as lawful, reasoning even though the curtilage of the home is protected by the Fourth Amendment, there's an implied license to approach a residence, knock on the door, ring the bell, and seek to contact occupants. However, the encounter is wholly voluntary. A person is under no obligation to speak with a government agent in the situation. You don't even need to answer or open the door in response to knocking, ringing by a government agent. And if you do answer the knock, you can stop speaking at any time. You also have the right to demand that government agents leave the property once the purpose of the visit is established. When the government's actions go beyond merely approaching the door and knocking, it risks violating the Fourth Amendment, which requires a warrant and probable cause of possible wrongdoing to search one's property. A government agent would be violating the Fourth if he snooped around the premises, peering into windows, going into other areas in search of residents. While in theory, one can refuse to speak with police or other government officials during a knock-and-talk encounter, as the courts have asserted as a justification for dismissing complaints about this police investigative tactics, the reality is far different. It is unreasonable to suggest that individuals caught unaware by these tactics will not feel pressured in the heat of the moment to comply with a request to speak with government agents who display official credentials and are often heavily armed, let alone allow them to search one's property. Second, there's a danger inherent in these knock-and-talk encounters. Although courts have embraced the fiction that knock-and-talks are voluntary encounters no different from other door-to-door canvassing, these constitutionally dubious tactics are highly intimidating confrontations meant to pressure individuals into allowing police access to one's home, which then paves the way for a warrantless search of one's home and property. The act of going to homes and taking steps to speak with occupants is akin to it, but it's fraught with danger to the knock-and-talk tactics used by police, but it's fraught with danger for homeowners and government agents alike. Knock-and-talk not only constitutes severe violations of privacy and security, but the combination of aggression and surprise deployed by police is also a recipe for violent confrontations that rarely end well for those on the receiving end of these tactics. He offers a couple of illustrations. 26-year-old Andrew Scott had committed no crime, never fired a single bullet or threatened police, but was gunned down by those who knocked aggressively on the wrong door at 1:30 a.m., failed to identify themselves as police, and then repeatedly shot and killed Scott when he answered the door while holding a gun in self-defense. Carl Dykes was shot in the face by a county deputy and pounded on Dykes' door in the middle of the night, again, without identifying himself. Because of reports that inmates had escaped from a local jail, Dykes brought a shotgun with him when he answered the door and was killed. Third, there's a question of how the government plans to use the information it obtains from these knock-and-talk visits. Because the stated purpose is to promote vaccination, homeowners and others who reside will certainly be asked if they're vaccinated. Again, you have the right not to answer this or any other question. Under the Privacy Act, U.S. 5552A, an agency should only collect and maintain information about an individual as is relevant and necessary to accomplish a purpose of the agency. The government agent could accomplish this purpose by assuring people have information by simply providing it in writing or orally, does not need to know the vaccination status. To the extent to which they are requesting, collecting, and storing information about vaccinating status, this could be a Privacy Act violation. Here's the bottom line. These agents are coming to your home with one purpose in mind, to collect information about you. It's a form of intimidation, of course. You shouldn't answer any questions you're uncomfortable answering about your vaccine history or anything else. The more information you give them, the more it can be used against you. Just ask them politely but firmly to leave. In this case, as in so many other interactions with government agencies, the First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment and your phone call recording the encounter are your best protection. Take this advice to heart. Don't let yourself be abused. They're not there for your benefit. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, there have been several developments regarding the Arizona audit, where a state senator has demanded that the Biden electors be recalled to Arizona and that a new election be held. Arizona Republican State Senator Wendy Rogers is calling for the Biden electors to be recalled to Arizona, demanding a new election be conducted following explosive news this week. Following the audit hearing in Maricopa County, she's calling for the electors, I have heard enough. With the tens of thousands of ballots mailed without being requested, the over 10,000 who voted after registering after November 3rd, the failure of Maricopa to turn over the 40% machines, the password Dominion still refuses to turn over, tens of thousands of unauthorized queries demonstrating how insecure the election was. I call for the Biden electors to be recalled to Arizona and a new election be conducted. Arizona's electors must not be awarded fraudulently, and we need to get this right. Donald Trump has, of course, weighed in on behalf of decertifying the election. Arizona Senate hearings on the Maricopa County election audit is devastating news to the radical left Democrats and the Biden administration. While this, according to the Senate, is preliminary, with results being announced at a later date, it seems that 74,234 mail-in ballots were counted with no clear record of them being sent. There were 18,000 voters who were scrubbed from the voter rolls after the election. They also revealed the voting system was breached or hacked by whom he asked, very big printer and ballot problem with different paper used, et cetera, and much more. Cyber Ninja CEO Doug Logan testified Thursday. The auditors reported 74,000 ballots that were received and included 74,000 ballots. More ballots were received and included in the 2020 election than were mailed out. He found 74,243 mail-in ballots with no clear record of having been sent out. This is pretty nice. This is, of course, how they were taking advantage of the coronavirus to promote mail-in voting, to steal the election right and left. Absolutely stunning stuff. Where the fake news media, of course, has been denying there were any issues, any problems with the election, in spite of massive evidence to the contrary. We knew already the morning of the election. that is that the morning after the votes had been cast, that this had been a stolen election on an unprecedented scale. Meanwhile, many are going to find this disappointing. Arizona Senate President, state's 11 electors cannot be recalled after the Maricopa audit. Arizona Senate President Karen Fan, a Republican, said the state Senate doesn't have the ability to recall electors for the November 3rd, 2020 election after a fellow Republican lawmaker called for new ones. She told One American News Network that the upper chamber has the ability to provide auditors with the material they need, including through the use of subpoenas, but the certification of electors is a different matter. The Senate body, we do not have the authority to do that. So this is what we said, and I want to make it very clear on the record. Fan's comments came as former President Trump issued a statement declaring the audit revealed there were irregularities and fraud that would have swayed the election in his favor last year, about which there is no doubt. After the election, some Republicans, after the hearing last week, some Republicans have called for the 11 electors to be recalled, but Fan said the Senate only has the ability to subpoena information because we make laws. I think that what this really means is that a procedure to change the outcome of the electors is more elaborate. I'm assuming it's possible, but it would entail probably laws initiating in the state legislature, not in the state Senate. So as in the national, we have a House and a Senate, the equivalent in Arizona. I don't believe it's a done deal that the electors cannot be recalled, but I believe that's simply not within the purview of the state Senate alone to make that happen. Where, if I am correct, it would have been a good thing for the head of the Senate to have made it clear, for the Senate President Karen Fan to spell that out. I believe it is the case, but I would like confirmation. Meanwhile, the Texas Democrats who've led the state want the Biden administration to cover for the consequences. Three of the Texas Democratic legislators who fled Texas rather than be present to debate and vote on Republican-sponsored election integrity bill have tested positive for the coronavirus, leading one to snark on Twitter about a national mask mandate, evidently responding to critics who noted the Democrat lawmakers left Texas on a packed private plane without wearing masks. State Representative Gene Wu used the actions by his own party to push for a national mandate for indoor masks. I assume that everyone whistling past a graveyard and laughing about Democrat members testing positive have already been fully vaccinated and have no complaints about mandatory masking provisions again. Otherwise, it seems kind of like begging karma to visit. Well, they're all going into quarantine for 10 days. Republican Representative Ronnie Jackson, however, said Democrats who posted images of themselves grinning maskless for the camera on their flight to D.C. have only covered the embarrassment of leaving their post with even more folly. Texas Democrats have made complete fools of themselves during their D.C. vacation, he said. First, they abandoned their constituents and duties as state legislators. Now their hypocrisy rings loud, and a few of them have contracted COVID-19. These are the same who pushed for mask mandates and got on private planes with no masks, even though everyone else has to wear masks on planes, said Jackson, a former White House doctor. No one should take these hypocrites seriously. Meanwhile, the Georgia Secretary of State explains why he's just now discovering more than 10,000 illegal votes cast in 2020. I mean, it's unbelievable. During a detailed discussion with a Federalist on Wednesday, representatives from the Georgia Secretary of State's office provided their perspective on new evidence suggesting more than 10,300 Georgia votes illegally cast ballots. Last week, The Federalist reported on recently obtained data indicating tens of thousands of Georgia voters had violated Section 212218 of the state's election code, which requires residents vote in the county in which they reside unless they had changed their residence within 30 days of the election. Shortly after, Mark Davis, president of Data Productions Incorporated and an expert on voter data analytics and residency issues, determined from national change of address records that nearly 35,000 Georgia voters who indicated they'd moved from one Georgia county to another had voted in the 2020 election in the county from which they had moved, which, of course, is a violation, therefore, of the statutes. Trump's claims of violation of Section 212218, as well as numerous other challenges, however, were never heard because the chief judge of Fulton County, Chris Brasher, failed to appoint a legally eligible judge to hear the case until a month after the lawsuit was filed, making a trial on the president's election challenge impossible. So notice, it was a timely complaint filed with a court, and the judiciary failed to act. This is a clear indication of the politicalization of the judiciary, which fundamentally undermines the principles on which this nation is supposed to be founded, to wit, equal justice under law. This is just outrageous and very much akin to the Biden procedures of wanting to give stimulus benefits disproportionately to Black and Latino and Native American by discriminating against whites, as though they had no comprehension that all the laws that preclude discrimination on the basis of race preclude discrimination against whites on the basis of their race, just as it does discrimination against Blacks on the basis of theirs. The Secretary of State, by the way, in Georgia, has sought to assert that these were illegal votes, but it's not for the Secretary of State's office to say whether they constitute illegal votes, noting in his view it's a question for the Georgia courts. But there's a problem here. The Secretary of State's office acknowledged a court could declare an election void if a candidate established that voters representing the total margin of victory had not been legal voters, adding that Georgia courts have said being on a national change of address list is not in and of itself enough to challenge a voter. But notice that a court could declare an election void if a candidate established that voters representing the total margin of victory had not been legal voters. Now, carry that back to Arizona. It may well be then that the situation is parallel in Arizona and other states where it's going to require the judicial system taking these cases before the courts, which could, of course, eventually wind up before the Supreme Court. Would they then refuse to review it because the state didn't have standing? I am so distraught that the U.S. Supreme Court refused to take the Texas case that laid out in clear and unmistakable language with abundant proof that the key swing states of Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin had violated their own laws, statutes, and procedures on the ground that they lack standing, that my confidence in the U.S. Supreme Court has been shaken, perhaps permanently. Meanwhile, the Michigan Senate has repealed the Emergency Powers Act, which the governor, in this case, Gretchen Whitmer, will be unable to veto. But it's only been passed by the Senate and needs to be also passed by the House. The Michigan Senate 20-15 vote came 2 days after the Board of State Canvassers certified a petition to repeal these emergency powers that the governor had by a group called Unlock Michigan that gathered over 340,000 signatures. They had deadlocked 2-2 in April, but this time voted 3-0, taking aim at the 1945 Emergency Powers Act, enabling Whitmer to impose harsh restrictions on state residents during a COVID-19 pandemic. Some were reluctant to repeal it because, for example, Senator Tom Barrett, a Republican, the initiative represent the people's veto of this governor and the unlimited power she tried to claim. But another said that when an emergency faces a state, we don't have the luxury of time. So there was some debate over whether it was a good idea to remove it. But given the abuse to which this governor has subjected the residents of Michigan, I have no doubt that it's appropriate to repeal it. Where Republicans control both chambers of the legislature in Michigan, if the House follows the Senate, then an emergency declaration will be good for only 28 days before requiring the legislature's approval, which in my opinion thereby nullifies the idea of acting promptly. You can still impose emergency measures, but only for 28 days. So that's appropriate. Meanwhile, if you wanted further substantiation that Trump's lawsuit against Twitter is well-founded, Biden press secretary calls for users banned on one social platform to be banned from all social platforms. Seriously, Glenn Greenwald tweets, who the F is the White House to be dictating who should and should not be banned from social media platforms to keep lists of who they think are the spreaders of misinformation and then pressure companies they regulate to obey? This is pernicious SHIT, where Jen Psaki has suggested people spreading misinformation be banned from other platforms if they're banned from one. But the point is, you know, misinformation is defined properly as simply false information. But when there are opinions and nobody knows for sure which opinions are true and which are false, the right thing to do, of course, is to permit all opinions, since, as Sir Karl Popper, the great British philosopher of science, has observed, the most effective means to establishing the truth is through critical, objective, rational discussion and debate, which is being precluded here. Meanwhile, another tweet came, if that's the case, TV providers and social media platforms need to immediately ban CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, PRN, New York Times, Washington Post, Politico, BuzzFeed, Time, Yahoo, The Atlantic, Huffington Post, WHO, nearly every establishment politician and bureaucrat in Washington for putting out false information. If that's whom you're going to ban, go for it. Meanwhile, Trump has responded to the claim that General Milley feared a coup. I'm not into coups. According to a new book by two Pulitzer Prize-winning reporters, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, feared then-President Donald Trump would attempt a coup if he lost a 2020 presidential election. This guy is clearly a dim bulb. As has come to be expected, Trump blasted Milley in response. Milley, here's a tweet by Matthew Petty. Milley spoke to friends, lawmakers, and colleagues about the threat of a coup, and the Joint Chief Chairman felt he had to be on guard for what might come. They may try, but they're not going to effing succeed, Milley told his deputies. You can't do this without the military. You can't do this without the CIA and the FBI. We're the guys with the guns. The book claimed in a conversation with former National Security Advisor McMaster, Milley said, what the F am I dealing with? And McMaster replied, you're dealing with some of the weirdest SHIT ever. Trump said this is pure fantasy, that he never threatened or spoke about to anyone a coup of our government if I was going to do a coup. One of the last people I'd want to do it with would be General Mark Milley. Trump also slammed Milley for apologizing after his participation in the president's June 2020 photograph at St. John's Church in Washington. And I think Trump's got the better of it 100%. I saw at that moment he had no courage or skill certainly not the type of person I would be talking coup with. I'm not into coups. Trump continued, despite massive voter fraud and irregularities during the 2020 presidential election scam that we're now seeing play out in very big and important states, I never threatened or spoke about to anyone a coup of our government. Sorry to inform you, but an election is my form of coup. If I was going to do a coup, the last I'd want to do it with is Miley. The former president continued, he got his job only because the world's most overrated general, James Mattis, could not stand him, had no respect for him, and would not recommend him. To me, the fact that Mattis didn't like him, just like Obama didn't like him and actually fired him, was a good thing, not a bad. I often act counter to people's advice whom I don't respect. But in this case, Mattis and Obama were right. Miley is a misfit, inappropriate, should most certainly not be chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And it's singularly unfortunate that's the case at this crucial moment in our history. Meanwhile, a new poll reveals a whopping 58% of Americans think the leftist media is the enemy of the people. Friday, Rasmussen released his latest poll about American trust in the media, asking if they agreed with President Trump's assessment that the news media are truly the enemy of the people. The survey of 1,000 likely voters found 58% agreed with the statement, 34% strongly, 24% somewhat, 36% didn't agree, 13% somewhat, 23% strongly, only 6% were unsure. Among conservatives, the sentiment was shared by 81% of respondents, 56% agreeing strongly, 25% somewhat. Interestingly, 15% of conservatives do not agree media is the enemy of the people, and 7% strongly disagree. Naturally, those who identify as liberal weren't on board. 68% of liberals disagreed with the statement, 54% strongly disagreed, another 14% somewhat. But there were even liberals who believed the news media is the enemy of the people. A total of 30% agreed with Trump's statement. The divide also along party lines. 76% of Republicans agreed. But more Democrats than liberals are with President Trump on the issue, with 37% of the Democrats saying they agreed. The Rasmussen survey also asked how serious of a problem is fake news in the media. 83% of voters said it was very serious or somewhat serious. The largest percentage that agreed came from conservatives, 91%. Even 73% of self-identified liberals believe fake news is a problem. Finally, the survey asked, do you trust the political news you're getting? Only 37% answered yes, 43% no, 20% not sure. 61% of conservatives and only 19% of liberals say they don't trust the political news. Here's a story, by the way, a travel alert that Florida is an epicenter of the pandemic of the unvaccinated. Now, this, in my opinion, is a perfect example of fake news that has a propagandistic purpose. Remember, DeSantis has opened Florida. He's not going along with the agenda. They can determine how many cases there are by using the PCR at a too high a rate, reducing it to a lower to distract it. They're finding out that the states that have the lowest vaccine rate, where they're highlighting why they want to get them vaccinated, also turn out to be states that went for Donald Trump. Florida, Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, in this new category, where COVID-19 cases are on the rise and where fewer than half of Americans are fully vaccinated, where U.S. health officials warn the unvaccinated most at risk. I beg to differ. It's precisely the opposite. Those who are most at risk are those who have been vaccinated. And I'm really, really troubled by the fact that is the case. Because so many who have had sincere concern to protect themselves and their families have been willing to buy into, you know, the whole scam, where I'm quite convinced that, in fact, there has never been a pandemic, that the mortality tables in Europe do not support it, that even a study from Johns Hopkins does not support it, where there's been no increase in sales of oxygen tanks or IV stands and drips, where the American insurance companies haven't adjusted their rates. There was no bona fide pandemic. It is a mass illusion. It is propaganda. And it's been, in my opinion, breathtakingly successful. Breathtakingly successful by inducing, you know, millions of Americans to take a jab that almost certainly is going to do them damage, which Sherry Tenpenny has described as a perfectly designed killing machine, for a world famous virologist who actually shared a Nobel Peace a Nobel Prize is explaining that within 5 years, everyone who took the jab is going to be dead. I have another report here about how to effectively turn the tables on the term conspiracy theorist that fits very well with what I've been reporting already. But I am going to open the lines to callers for the second hour. The number, of course, is 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. I'll continue talking about this preamble. If the Zionist U.S. regime wants to tax, fine, or jail persons who spread conspiracy theories, then it can start by taxing, fining, or jailing the following legal persons and all the natural persons working for them, to be continued when we come back. But, of course, you will not be surprised. It includes American Brain Cleanser, ABC, the Beast Broadwashing Corporation, BBC, the Criminal Network News, CNN, Nothing But Crap, NBC, and Seeing Here, BS, CBS. We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, as I have explained, I'm opening the phone lines. If anyone who would like to call in, the number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call and get you on the air. I was beginning to, have we got a caller staying by, Mitchell? Do we already have a caller here? I hear.
Yes, Tony from Chicago here is here already.
Okay, Tony, glad to have you here. Tony, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, did you go to my website over the weekend, vaccinehoax.com?
No, tell us about it, Tony. Everyone would want to hear about it.
Okay, Jim, I just want to show you my new sign. Why don't you personally go to it right now if you can. Just go to vaccinehoax.com and click on the don't take it PG number 2, page 2 button, red button. Okay, you can check out my new sign. It's 148 by 110 inches, and we're going to be going out with it this afternoon during rush hour on a I'm going to start this up again.
Yeah, I'm on your page. What do you want me to click on?
Click on the button. You see, don't take a campaign, the big button, and then right to the right of that, it says don't take it PG number 2. You see that button? Click on that. Click on that, and then scroll down, right? It's underneath the 5 jet blue pilots croaked video came out. Okay. Did you get to that sign? It says, tell me when you get there.
I'm looking. You've got quite a few here. This looks like you've really been doing yeoman work on this, Tony. I'm very impressed.
This has been going on since last night. Did you get to the sign? It's right under the jet blue. Pilots, the 5 dead JetBlue pilots.
Well, I've seen so many signs, Tony. I think you're doing a great job on this. Yeah.
Go ahead. No, are you? And I'll get off this tangent. And I'll start talking. Are you on the Don't Take It or the Don't Take It page two?
I'm on the Don't Take It
front page.
I'm on the Don't Take It page two. Oh,
I still haven't seen that.
I got it in the chat. Warning: COVID-19 vaccine,
yeah.
Murder, genocide. vaccinehoax.com. That's good. You're doing good.
Thank you. That's 110 inches by 48 inches. And we're going to be going. And I mean, I did this 6 days a week last summer. Okay. But up until this afternoon, I haven't been doing the rush hours. Okay. And yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. I was pitching this site in this rush hour campaign on IBN on this show. It was in a Saturday morning, Farron Schoaf. He's from North Carolina. And now one person would go out and do this. Okay. And I'm going to tell you right now, if there would have been, 10, so maybe it would take 100,000 people in this country to do what I'm going to do personally. Okay. I don't know if we would be in this situation now. Okay. Because these people that are behind this genocide. Okay.
Yes.
And they see that there's no opposition to it. On a street level, okay, there's the guy that, that did the lawsuit. I've never heard of him. And, he's a true American hero. I actually think the guy does have a lawsuit going. He can't reveal his source that says 45,000. I didn't know there was 11 reporting agencies. I just thought it was the VAERS. Okay, which is, by the way, I think you mentioned is close to 11,000. And then if you put the miscarriages in there, that it's close to 12,000. So I mean, this is a genocide. That's what this is. It's plain and simple. And the whole And for the naysayers that say, what is this going to accomplish? Okay, look, this is the most hardcore sign I've made. But the website is much more hardcore. Okay, this is just a safe thing to go out in public with, and then they get to the website, they see what's actually happening, and then I have on there who's behind it all under Kabbalah, evil, and New World Order. So what does this accomplish? This is going to wake, if this was done on a mass level, which would start out on these radio programs, which I've been on, which no one will do this, okay? So, if it started out with 1, 10, 100, you pick up people around the country and it gets up to 10 or 20,000, then it's going to have an impact. You are waking people up who haven't taken the death shot not to take it. Also, you are inflaming the fools that have taken the web shot, the death shot. You're informing them what they did to themselves, and you are going to format rage within them, and they should be enraged over what they got suckered into. They should be enraged by their own behavior because no one forced them to take it, but also after they get done banging their head against, the brick wall on their house, who they're going to start getting pissed at the people who suckered them into this, see? So that's what this would accomplish and what I do just for a rush, okay, on a single level, because I know myself doing this crap. I probably had 100,000 people pass me last summer. It didn't do a damn thing. I fully admit that. But on a mass level, this would mix things up in this country like it's mixed up in Europe, because that's where we're going to in Europe, what's happening in France. Okay, that's where it's coming to. And if people just sit there and do absolutely nothing, just call in the radio shows, and I'm not dumping on you people, like you, Jim, or the host, and I'm not dumping on the people that own Revolution Radio. Okay, you're doing something already. I'm talking about the people that just call in or don't call in. Most people don't even call in and have the balls to put their voice on these things. You're doing nothing. And, you're going to reap the consequences of this thing. You're going to have to fight this in one way or another, or we're going down. And we're going to lose it all. And they're going for the jugular. I mean, if these latest numbers don't convince you of that. So if you just sit there and do nothing, fine. But, I'm not going to sit here and go down because I got a lot to lose without going out and mixing it up. Okay. And I enjoy mixing it up with a lot of these idiots where I live because, personally, I hate their guts. I don't like them. And I like to tell them to their face what a bunch of jagoffs they are. Okay. I get a rush on it. I'm physically capable enough to go out and do it. Never had a problem. So anyway, just want to thank you for the rant. Tony, but that's the game plan. What? Go ahead.
Tony, how could people make contact with you if they want to participate? If they want to
This is the thing. This is a lone wolf project. You don't need there's an email we're getting after there. There's an email address on there. I don't have access to it. It's the guy who owns this website, which is Pastor Eli James of Norfolk Radio. It's a Christian identity movement. Okay. But yeah, it's set up as a lone wolf movement. You don't need to call me. Paint the sign up and go do it in your area. This is your country. Look, if you don't like me personally, and if you don't like my website, do the warning, you know, COVID-19 vaccines equal mass murder genocide. Well, it's right in front of your eyes. We know that. We're getting the numbers. Put www.vaccineimpact on it, which is a fine website. Or humans are free, or any of it, just get out and do something. Yeah, like I said, this is not about me. I mean, I could care less if you use my website or not. Put someone else's out there. There's good ones out there. Yeah, I really get into who's behind this, and that's the Kabbalist Jew. Okay, that's who's behind this program. And if you go, just one more second, if you go to Under Kabbalah Evil, Adam Green, No More News on BitChute, okay, He did another, and you should get into this, Jim. If you really want to mix things up, you really want to get people inflamed, you should listen to these videos by Christopher John Bajerkness of Chicago. He's a quarter Jewish, racially Jewish, okay. And yeah, he's an expert in Kabbalah, okay. Kabbalah Zohar, and these videos. The latest one is Rabbis Reveal Shocking Kabbalah Secrets, okay. If you want to be floored, you go to BitChute, go to No More News, Adam Green, watch Rabbis Reveal Shocking Kabbalah Secrets, and I watched the whole thing yesterday. Okay. My girlfriend who I live with, she was on doing her own little thing. I got to watch this whole thing. You will be floored. Okay, you don't know Judaism until you listen to this guy describe Kabbalah Zohar, which in a nutshell calls for the extermination of all Gentiles, okay? And they have rabbis in their own words on YouTube, not just one or two, multiple ones, coming right out and saying exactly this, okay, in their little Jewish code. But their code is pretty out front, okay? They're not mincing words. They want Europe going down. They want the U.S. going down. You are Amalek, and you must be destroyed, okay? And that's what this is all about. This is coming from the Rothschild family, or Kabbalists, and that's what Kabbalah Zohar is all about, and that is Judaism, see? And after you watch this video, you're not going to be worried about being called anti-Semite and all this BS garbage, okay? These people need to be confronted and simply being challenged, say, why do you want to kill us all? Because they come right out and say it, they're stinking religious leaders, see? And why we're letting this happen, this little group of people, okay, come down on this, I do have a good idea, because the Christian community has been totally perverted, and they're behind it all, and they've been, you know, hoodwinked, okay. So why this is happening, I don't know, but I'm just not going to sit here and let this happen without going out and trying to mix it up like they're doing in Europe. And if this is not happening in this country, we are finished. Because everything Revolution Radio is about, and about the New World Order agenda, you guys have been blabbing this out for years. It's all coming to a head right now.
Tony, I wish I could say you were wrong, but everything I know suggests to me you're right, and it's as serious a situation as it could possibly be. I mean, absolutely staggering, and I think that you are doing these things is sensational, that you're trying to get the word out to the public as an activist. I think, the issue about Christianity involves turning the other cheek, loving your neighbor. The trouble is, if your neighbor is trying to kill you, turning the other cheek and loving your neighbor or your enemies as you do yourself really doesn't work. I mean, we got to...
You're going down with them. You're just useful idiots. You know, but like I said, what I'm doing, it's totally legal, if it got to the point where it makes an effect, and it would, if 100,000 people were doing this last summer, I don't know if we would be in this situation right now. Yeah, sure, they'll try to make it illegal. But at this point, they cannot do anything to you. If you are on a busy intersection, there's going to be at least 4,000 cars passing me, and that's just on one side of the road. I've counted them. You go on a stoplight, you go on both sides, you got 8,000. You go off interstate highways during rush hour, okay? If there's, there's nothing they can do about it. And don't tell me on a mass scale, this would not do any good, because you're stirring up the pot again, and then I'll let you go. So I don't want to repeat yourself. You're warning the people that haven't taken it that you're going to die if you take it, and the dopes that took it, you're going to format rage in them, and they should be enraged, first at themselves and at the people who put this in front of them, and they got suckered into taking it. But just to see, the numbers are there. We're gonna start getting wiped out, and they're gonna keep on trying to hide it and hide it and hide it. And they may be successful, but they wouldn't be with this. So,
Tony, I think you got it right. I do, and I would encourage anyone to check out vaccinehoax.com. You got all kinds of fantastic stuff there, Tony. Things that could be useful.
Yep.
Because of the internet, I would encourage people to reach far and wide using the internet. You can actually reach a lot of people if you're willing to do it. But this is why the social media crackdown and censorship is making such a difference. If it were not for Facebook and Google and YouTube and Twitter not allowing American people to speak, I think there'd be overwhelming opposition. 2/3 of the American people would be condemning and damning all of this nonsense about the vax. It's because so many do not know how many others feel exactly the way they do, that they are intimidated. They feel a lack of solidarity, especially when there's so much propaganda coming from the mainstream. I mean, this is as diabolical a scheme to take down America, indeed, to depopulate the entire world as has ever been conceived by the mind of man. And these are monsters. These are monsters. So, Tony, I congratulate you. I celebrate what you're doing. I applaud you. I think what you're doing is terribly, terribly important, and I'm fearful that you've got it exactly right, that if we don't do something now, we may not have a second chance.
Exactly. I'll let you on Wednesday. I'll give you a brief call and let you know how it went. I'm going to be doing it a few times this week because I'm blowing down to Florida. I'll be doing it in Florida next week, and I'm going to be doing it in a city in between Fort Myers, Florida, and Chicago. I'm not going to be revealing what city I'll be doing it in until it's all over with. So I'll let you know what happened, because this is the strongest one I put out, and I encourage everybody to, you have to do something, or you're just going to go down. It's the writing's on the wall. Okay, I'm going to stop blabbing. I'll let you go. I'm going to hang up.
Tony,
I'm not going to hang up. Okay.
Tony, examples like yours can be inspiring to others, and it can be like crabgrass. It grows, springs up everywhere. You could be initiating a very important movement that might contribute to saving the nation, because we are in dire straits. I've been pushing
this thing for a year. No, not one person has done it. And in Chicago, I got one guy. He blew me off 7 months ago, but he went out with me about 10 times. He was a retired iron worker that took a 30-foot fall. He got $1 million settlement. So he's just like, well, I got nothing to lose. I got $1 million in the bank, and I've got the checks coming in from the accident. So yeah, he was out there with me 10 or 15 times, and then he copped out on me. And this dude was like, 6'1", 6'2". Yeah, he was a lot bigger than me. Nothing's ever happened to me. So, but like I said, that's it. And I'm just stunned. Well, I'm just repeating myself. I'm just stunned how people, especially on these New World Order, internet radio stations, people know the agenda. They're not stupid. They know this. They see this, and they just sit there and do nothing. So, and then, like I said, I'm not telling anybody to break the law, because if I was doing that, I'd have the FBI at my door. And that's never going to happen to me. But like I said, if it ever got anywhere, they would do it anyway. But let's get to that point, okay? I'm going to let you go. I've been on for quite a while now. I'm not going to hold on. I'm just going to...
Tony, you're doing fantastic. And I love your site, vaccinehoax.com. And it's making it more and more obvious why the social media censorship is contributing to the destruction of the nation and the deaths of millions. I mean, these social media moguls need to be held account. They need to be prosecuted for what they're doing. I mean, it's grotesque. And Trump, this all the more reinforces the importance of Trump's lawsuit. The trouble is the law moves at a snail's pace, except for rigged cases, which they can put through at breakneck speed. And America needs protection now. You're making a contribution, Tony.
Exactly.
I admire you for what you are doing, and
I'll let you know on Wednesday what happened the last 2 days. Okay, I'm going to let you go. Thanks a lot.
I want to have you back, Tony. I want to have you back.
Okay. Thanks. Take it easy. Thanks. Bye bye.
Good luck. Meanwhile, we have a second caller, Scott from San Diego. Scott, join the conversation. Scott, I know you're there. Join the conversation. Mitchell, have we got a problem here connecting with Scott? I mean, I'm hearing some clicks, but I'm not getting his voice. Scott, if you can make contact,
kind of
I'll bring
call back. I'll hook him back in.
Okay, I'll bring in Scarity for now. Scarity, come on in, join the conversation. Your thoughts. Scarity, are you there?
Yes, sorry.
Go ahead.
Hi, Jim and Mitch. And I wish that Tony from Chicago had held on for another minute, because I wanted to ask him, I heard that it's good to have a video camera.
Hey, this is Scott. Leave a message.
At the tone, please record your message.
Go ahead, Scarity. Mitchell is trying to bring back Scott. Go ahead, Scary.
Okay. So I wanted to ask Tony from Chicago, when he calls back in on Wednesday, if he could give out a good model or company for a video camera for these outdoor announcements. I've seen people. Go ahead.
Oh, I think he just meant using your cell phone camera. You know, we have cameras right in our cell phones. Even the old flip phone I use has a capacity to do a video. So I think he means something that everyone has, even if they didn't realize they have it, that they already have it at hand.
I know, but I'd rather, I think sometimes I don't want my cell phone with me.
Ah,
and
I get
and
it.
Just a video camera.
Yeah.
I've seen, you know, the youngsters, the teenagers and 20-somethings, they do, you know, popular podcasts, and they seem to walk on the sidewalk, and you don't see their arms, so I'm not sure if they're holding it in their hand, and it has like a goldfish bowl type look, you know, circular and a little distorted, and it seems to me something that's custom made for like recording outdoor mishappenings. So the kids have it there so they can broadcast on the internet and maybe even live optionally. But again, that involves sending your GPS satellite data. But if something is independent, just a camera that's not communicating with anybody, just taking the picture. Then later on, what are the features on it that allow uploading at a later time on the computer? You know, features, two, three, four features like that. And if he could give me a guideline guidance on which corporation is the best, sturdiest,
holds
the most data, et cetera, et cetera.
Have you tried doing a search online? This sounds to me like something that might be answerable pretty directly. You could make an inquiry of Best Buy or even a Walmart or a Target or a Radio Shack. I would think if you went online, it scared you, and they, you know, to search for a portable video camera, inexpensive, you're going to find lots of options. That would be my guess. I could do it even now over the break and see if I can find something. But I think what you're suggesting, I think, is good. You know, the idea of wanting to have a camera that could be useful, that doesn't put your own cell phone, for example, at risk. That's the idea, is it not?
Yes, twofold. So actually, what you're saying right now, I hadn't thought of. At risk, meaning from attack, somehow it being spoiled, somebody sending signals to spoil it and to harm it and to make my equipment fail. But my thing that I was thinking of is that I might just want to video it without at that moment live streaming it. In other words, just not to communicate or let anybody know on the internet that I'm there.
And also, you know, you don't want your home, your phone to be seized by the police. There are under $25 camcorders, video electronics on Amazon.com. I'm looking at it right now. Under $25 for camcorders on Amazon.com. So, Scary, I'd suggest checking that out. And I suspect that it's not going to be a challenge to find. Here are the top seven best cheap video cameras. This is for YouTube, thinking you want, but I'm telling you, the top seven best cheap video cameras. Check it out. Scaredy, we're about to hit the break, but you can squeeze in a comment or two more before we're there. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jim, for checking for me. And that's actually exactly what I want, somebody to guide me. I know I can pick something, but then I don't want to have to find a week later, I should have looked into that feature. So somebody like Tony, who's actually doing it, or maybe the mechanic who also does
public. Scary, let's come back to the issue. You can look online right now.
Hello.
Here we go. Into the break.
It's Sal. And you didn't know who I was before you called.
Listen,
me.
Revolutionary FreedomSlips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, if you go to under $25 camcorders videos, electronics at Amazon, as I'm doing a search, there is one that looks to me like it might be very promising. It's a 2020 new video camcorder, high def, 720p handheld digital camera, 4x digital zoom, 2.0, let me send this to Mitchell and get his opinion about it too. But this looks to me like it might be the sort of thing that Scaredy is looking for. Mitchell, take a look at that if you got a chance, my friend. It looks to me this thing is cheap. It's $18.99. With free delivery from August 9th through August 30th. I mean, my goodness, how can you beat that? So, Scaredy, we may have found what you're looking for here. Did you hear what I was just telling Mitchell?
Yes, absolutely. I heard you. That sounds fantastic.
It actually does. It just says Video Recorder HD. I've given Mitchell a link right there in the chat. So if you're accessing the chat, you can find it right there. Mitchell, I'll ask Mitchell to give it to you, Scaredy. Mitchell, give it. That looks to me pretty good. Now you can read there are a couple reviews there that think the quality is not great, but I would be willing to bet this is actually a pretty good deal. This is a good deal. It's inexpensive. And, you know, they're going to have a return policy. So if you didn't like the quality, you could always return it. But it's only $18.99, Scaredy, $18.99.
Let me ask you. Good to know that it's dollars and not hundreds. Like, you know how we say $18.99.
I know. Isn't that fantastic? Now, do we still have Scott? Do we have Scott on, or did we lose Scott? Mitchell, do we have Scott?
No, we don't have Scott. I called him back, but got his answering machine, or Sal. And we don't have Scott either, so.
You don't have Sal or Scott.
Yeah,
okay.
Sal called, but I missed his call, and I tried to call him back. He can call back. Hey, Sal, Colorado.
Do you see this camera I'm talking about,
yeah,
Mitchell?
Yeah, I see. It says it's got Wi-Fi, and with the USB, it's a 4 optical zoom.
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? For less than $20?
Amazing.
Scaredy,
hey,
I think
Mitchell,
that's the...
Sorry, Jim. Is there some way you can text that to me? I'm using my mom's landline, but when I'm not visiting her, I also use my cell phone. You have, I think, two phone number listings for Scaredy Cats. Is it possible for you to text me that thing? Because I actually don't use computers hardly ever. So I've never logged into chat, chat rooms in my life, except when we did the auction.
Scary, yeah, let me see if Mitchell can't get that to you, okay? We'll do our best to get it to you.
I'll try to do that, Jim.
Wonderful, Mitchell. Thank you so much. So, Mitchell, while you're here, did you want to comment on any of the stories for today?
Well, you know, as an enlisted in the Marine Corps, you know, reaching the high rank of E3. Because
right.
I just didn't kiss ass. I just have to say, you know, I always knew there was competition or, you know, ass kissing by the officer corps. I just never realized the depth and the width, or I guess they had to go to get them stars and bars. Oh.
So you were a Lance Corporal at the time?
Oh, yeah, sir. Yeah. I had 23 months time in grade, first class PFT, and expert rifle range. Yeah, I couldn't even get on the list recommended. It was,
You mean for Corporal?
Yeah. Yeah. Until I was ready to get out, and then a captain calls me in and says, so we'll give you E4 so you can re-enlist for E5.
Where were you stationed at the time?
Oh, at Camp Lejeune.
At Camp Lejeune.
I was at Camp Lejeune all 3 years. I hit a NATO float, a Carib float, and we flew out on air alert to Florida for the Mary Old boat lift when that happened. It was interesting. You learn a lot and you have a lot of life experiences.
Sal, Mitchell, I want to tap you and both Scaredy for your reactions to Tony. It seems to me he's 100% correct.
Well, absolutely.
That the American people need to do something about this, and just being passive won't cut it.
Here's the thing that I think is the best thing that I think Tony is doing. And he said it's rogue. He said each person can do this individually. And we have political parties and think tanks and groups and I can't think of the name of it now. Grassroots organizations and such, and there are millions of people that are funneled together and then they're controlled. You cannot control 100,000 or 1 million people, individuals speaking their voice, not being compromised or co-opted by some kind of a structure, a corporate structure. That's why it's so important. I love what Tony's doing individually. And that's one of the things that he stressed. You know, once you get into bigger and bigger groups, your voices actually get smaller. The individual voices of our representative democracy. I'll leave it go at that.
Well, I'm pretty impressed with his effort. Scaredy, your thoughts? I take it you share my enthusiasm for what Tony's doing?
Absolutely. Times four. Your enthusiasm, Tony's enthusiasm, energy, Mitchell's ideas, energy, enthusiasm, and maybe I can be a fourth. I totally agree with ditto everything Mitch just said, except for just one thing. I am afraid, I'm the frightened feline, Jim. So I am afraid to do something. I am a very big hothead, but I am very hugely afraid of powerful, monstrous people. And so I think when Mitch says individually, go rogue individually, it's good to have a partner, even somebody who doesn't want to be seen with me. So I look like I'm individual, but my friend doesn't want to go public can be hiding out in a car. She can be holding the video camera across the street and nobody knows that she's with me, you know. So I do want to find somebody like that. My problem is I do not want to endanger. My other problem is I don't want to endanger my children. My children would do it with me. But I want to find somebody, you know, my age, like who could be a friend. And the problem is now everything is so divided and Karenized. And apologies to the beautiful singer Karen Carpenter. I'm hoping someday we can just get back to just honoring her voice and her songs, which my daughter takes singing lessons. And she herself recorded a CD, and I told her, but in the Bangla language, and I told her, and I tell everybody that if you want to just sing, improve your singing, just listen to Karen Carpenter. I don't think there's ever been a more natural voice. It just comes out of her as if she never read a line of notes. It's just so gorgeous. So apologies to Karen Carpenter, and let's all buy Karen Carpenter's albums, and maybe her brother is still alive who did the piano and everything on it. So, everybody, in my circles also, I live in society, are all Karenized, so I don't know who to ask. So I'm just thinking, I was actually looking up Revolution Radio hosts, and they're all like, Mitch is like, you know, 6 hours away from me in Virginia. I was looking up Blackbird 9. He's 8 hours away. And maybe the only person that's close to my mom's and my father's house is the District of Criminals.
Giuseppe.
Yeah, maybe he might. But other than that, I don't know who to ask. Everybody's so Karenized. You know, but I'll give it myself over the next month to maybe less, maybe a fortnight to figure it out. I do want to go on the street, and to agree with everybody, it's definitely, you know, more computer typing in a comment section is just so much more electronic hallucination. And it's like, as the young kids say, they say M-E-H, they say meh. That's the modern way to say, so what? To actually, I think the tip of the spear right now, in other words, the cutting edge of what good people should be doing is what Mitch and Tony and you are saying, is to actually be with the person. If I can talk to one person on the sidewalk. I think that's where, you know, we all have 24 hours in the day, and it's, you know, totally equal and just in that way. What we do with those 24 hours is, I think, instead of spending even half an hour or 10 minutes typing, you know, in different electronic magazines, just that 10 minutes to hold up a sign, I think is much more valuable at this point in history, this moment today. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's all very appropriate. Mitchell, your further thoughts.
Oh, heavens. Early, I was just trying to get this thing lined up on here. Sal's on.
Oh, you got him? Okay, let's bring in Sal. Calls. Sal, let's just have your thoughts, my friend. Give us your thoughts.
Well, hi, everybody. This doesn't have anything to do with stuff, but I'll start with this. You know, Mitch Buck over here, did you know, you've heard the Shirley Ellis song, the name game, Beanie Bob, Bop, and all that. Mitch has got two names that you can't rhyme in the name game. Well, you can, but if you rhyme Bo Mitch, and then if you rhyme Buck, it's just B5O, you know, and, you know, and all that other stuff. So, okay. Yeah, and it just goes from there. So that's the next best thing I got to comedy, today. But everybody's got to consider looking at newegg.com for all kinds of stuff that is really cheap. Almost everything they sell has free shipping, no matter where it's from. And they've got lots of stuff, lots of low-cost camera equipment. Oh, gosh. I don't know anything about it particularly, but I know there's plenty of things there that Amazon doesn't have. There may be things that are advertised on both, but oh yeah, they've got a lot of stuff there. And I think Tony makes a good point about you being by yourself, because that way, if you don't have somebody else with you when you're doing this stuff, the police or whomever can't pull the other person in that was with you and put the screws to them and get them to say you did something wrong, because it's all on you.
Oh, so there's an advantage even from a legal point of view to doing this only by yourself.
If someone is not there to confirm or deny, you know, what just you did, then you don't have to worry about it as much. Everybody has to worry about everything. But with regard to that, I think that he makes a good point. So I don't know, Scaredy Cat. I would bet that if you asked Giuseppe nicely, that he might do that. And I mean, I think that women actually, it would be best to have at least someone else with them, you know, just for their own safety. And I'm not saying that you can't whoop some ass, but you know, I don't know. If I were a female, I would want at least somebody else with me.
Yes. No, I think that's very appropriate. Yes, particularly if you're female. I agree completely. We're in a hell of a fix. I mean, you know, how did the United States come to this? Oh, I mean, it's just disgusting what's going on here. I mean, the nation is being destroyed, and it's as though nobody is in a position to do anything about it.
It's just a bad thing. And if you ever listen to the Covert Report, they were having technical problems yesterday, but it's up on Jim's BitChute channel with Jim and Scott. And even though it's just a little over an hour long, it's got all the stuff you would like to hear from the Covert Report without all the crappy music that Susan always plays. So check it out.
Sal, thanks. Okay, that's at BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, Scott Nyberg with Susan Lindauer. We have Scott back from San Diego. Scott, join the conversation.
Hey, Jim, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think we're, oh, man, I'm sorry. I'm getting another call here.
Sure. Not a problem.
I gotta go.
Oh, Scott. Okay. Sorry. You couldn't stay. Yeah. Ugh. Scaredy, back to you.
Hey, Jim. So, thank you to Sal from Colorado for giving me moral support to ask Giuseppe. Maybe I can ask Giuseppe day after tomorrow on the event at the end of the show. I'm afraid to ask Giuseppe because he's a VIP. I don't know if he would agree to be with, as you say, little old me. And we could just pick 1 hour, and I'm thinking someday in August.
Go ahead, Scaredy.
Okay, and just to finish the point is that Sal did make a good point about not having a second person like Giuseppe there because the police can't get too, can't use legal shenanigans. And also a third point is I just thought of when Sal was talking about that is that also then you get too, as Giuseppe says, warriors into although I'm just a cat. He's the warrior. Two people trying to fight the good fight into trouble and engaged in red tape. And so one at a time is good, only you get one man down, so to speak. But, you know, and also the thing is, I think to do it in a variety of places, see, I'm Muslim, so I want to do this at a mosque, like the road leading up to a mosque. And I didn't want to do it in a heavily, minority place where I could get attacked, because I want to, like a, quote, democratic, I know, democratic type area. So it would be good if I did it, you know, to get a different audience, like near a mosque, and also if it could be in an area where I attract actually white people. I hate using that phrase, but today's politics, we kind of are forced to use words like that. In other words, get friendly people to come and kind of who are a little bit sympathetic to the idea. And Giuseppe is white, so I would like to have him hidden in a car so he doesn't get into trouble, but he could be video cameraing me from a distance and be there in case somebody, you know, punched me. So that, and come that, to my be the white knight to the rescue, to the damsel in distress, if needed. So hopefully for the 1 hour, it won't be needed. Go ahead.
Scaredy, let me make an inquiry. He is so many demands on his time. He's a naturalistic physician, and he has a business, and he does all the radio shows. So I do not know his availability, but we sure can reach out. And if he could not, he possibly might know someone who'd be up for it. But, you know, I think you're such a dear. I worry about putting you in a position where it might be hazardous. The fact is, we're so used to using the social media that when we're being censored on a matter of ultimate importance that affects the life and future of most Americans and of the nation, that this is outrageous and disgusting that people like Jeff Bezos or Mark Zuckerberg or the Twitter guy and all that should be in a position to disallow Americans from communicating with other Americans. We have the right to do that. They do not have the right to interfere. And I damn them for this. These are the most un-American, undemocratic traitors to the nation in our recent history. And they cannot be excused on the ground that, you know, they're private companies. That doesn't cut it. I believe Trump's lawsuit, therefore, is of enormous significance. And every time you have this Jen Psaki talking about partnering with social media, reinforces that they're acting as agents of the state. This is a blatant violation of the First Amendment. They cannot be allowed to get away with it. I find it all insulting, but far beyond insulting and abusive, it's threatening to the life and well-being of the American people. So that the situation we're in today is horrendous. You know, we use words like that sometimes with hyperbole, but literally right now today, we are facing the greatest threat to the existence of the United States in our history. The Israelis like to talk about Iran being an existential threat to Israel. Well, here in the United States, it's the social media that are a threat to the existence of the United States, and very, very literally so. We can't communicate with each other. We can't tell each other what we found. We can't share all the results. We can't let other people know. 45,000 died within 3 days of taking the vax. We don't have the ability to share that information because they're curtailing it from us. They don't let us share that masks are damaging, that masks are harmful, that even the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, which is the largest medical scientific organization in the United States, recommends against wearing masks. That Anthony Fauci, Tony the Rat, who will go down as the greatest mass murderer in all of history, and colleagues studied the Spanish flu epidemic, which appears to have been a bona fide pandemic, and discovered that most of the deaths were not from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia infections, which it turns out are promoted by wearing masks. We know, too, we're recycling depleted oxygen, depleted air, which deprives our brain cells of the oxygen they need. When brain cells die, and every time we wear a mask, brain cells die, it's irrevocable. Brain cells, unlike skin cells, do not regenerate. When we lose those, brain cells are gone forever. So when we see young people, especially whose brains are growing, who need the oxygen to develop out playing soccer, for example, wearing masks, it's excruciatingly painful. It's a criminal act. This is a crime against humanity. And of course, the vaccination we've been discussing ad nauseum, but that's because they represent such a massive threat. So we really confront a three-stage agenda with a mask killing us slowly. And remember, because the oxygen isn't going to our hearts either, we're putting additional strain on our cardiovascular systems. Just from the mask alone, we're going to have an increase in dementia that's going to begin to skyrocket too, just as now deaths from vaccinations are skyrocketing today, and where it's very clear, not only from Bill Gates buying up some 250,000 acres of farmland, from the way in which they can control the major grain-producing industries, they're going to have a lock on food, and they're going to use mass starvation as the instrument to bring about the completion of their plan, massive global depopulation, including right here in the USA. So I continue to say, spend as much time as you can with your families and friends. Cherish those you love, because we have no idea how much time we have left.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.